I'm Poppy Tooker. Welcome to Louisiana Eats, where each week we travel into the fields and farms, the home and restaurant kitchens where the food action is really happening. Along the way, you'll meet the real people who maintain our traditions and create new culinary magic inspired by the fantastic food pantry that is Louisiana. Peggy Scott Laborde is one of New Orleans' most treasured celebrities, having hosted Steppin' Out for 25 years on Channel 12. A senior producer at WYES-TV, Peggy has just finished her most recent documentary, New Orleans Restaurants for the Past, and she's going to give us the inside scoop. Joe Brock of NOLA Green Roots knows all about raising chickens in the city. And he's here to teach us how to have our own chicken coop. Holiday pumpkins still decorating your doorstep? I'll tell you all about how delicious fresh pumpkin can be. This is Louisiana Eats. Joe Brock, in many ways, is your typical urban chicken farmer, because chicken is not his day job. By day, he's an accomplished web designer, but in late afternoon and early morning, Joe hears the call of the coop. We're visiting the Wise Words Community Garden, one of the sites he helps maintain as executive director of NOLA Green Roots. Standing here in the shade of the I-10 on-ramp at Tulane Avenue, the little green oasis where Joe's chickens live is part of what was once Crystal Preserves. Joe, welcome to Louisiana Eats.
Thanks for having me.
So what have you got going on here?
Well, we have chickens, lots and lots of chickens. It's wonderful to watch them grow from little bitty chicks to now medium size. So they're like 3 months old. As time goes, it's almost like similar to raising any animal. You're going to have to constantly study for symptoms, for different signs that you want to be aware of. So you want to stay on top of that.
Would you introduce me to your girls? I'd love to know what varieties you've got here. And do you talk to them? Do you call them?
Presently, we have Leghorns. We got Rhode Island Reds here, as well as Americanas. And those are different varieties, but they're a variety of, they're a group that can actually work together with each other. All of them come with their different personalities. Rhode Island Reds are very somewhat territorial about their areas, but they can all exist when you have the right amount of space available. Now, if you look at them carefully, I'm going to share a secret with you, and this is something that chicken lovers know. These are little baby chicks, but they look almost grown. However, you can tell by the top of their crown whether or not who's more developed to start laying eggs than others. And as that begins to slowly define, you'll notice that they're ready to lay eggs.
A question I know a lot of people have is that for chickens to lay eggs, do you need to have a rooster?
That's funny, because that's actually the number one question we constantly get when people visit us. They don't necessarily need to have a male to make eggs. They make them, but they're not ovulated eggs. When you decide to get a chicken, you want to know why you want it. And there's several reasons. One can be to make eggs to eat. Another one could be making eggs to make more chickens. So you have to decide which purpose you want that chicken for. Also, you have to feed them accordingly to that purpose.
I know that chicken keeping takes a lot more time and effort than adopting a puppy, for instance. So how can people learn about how to do this?
A good way to do that is by taking a NOLA Green workshop class on chicken. We hold them every third Thursday of the month, and they can sign up early, come out, and actually see chickens. Also ask as many questions as they need to ask about the laws, about how to take care of them, as well as those up and down questions that they may have that may not fit every particular person.
I read on your website that NOLA Green Roots will actually come out and help people build chicken coops. How does that work?
Well, what we do is we ask that they call us up, and we have someone in the office who will actually take their information down, come out to their site, measure off the area they want that coop to exist. We can build it on site, or we can build it somewhere else, and then bring it to them. So we have a group of people who are trained to actually build those coops and then bring it out to them.
So what are the laws about keeping chickens in the city?
Well, that's a good one. That's another question that people constantly ask about. Our laws in New Orleans are almost mostly superseded by Louisiana law, because when there is no really concrete laws on the book for New Orleans, then what trumps that is Louisiana law. So we follow Louisiana law on the purpose of how we keep chickens and how we monitor chickens and how we take care of them. Presently, chickens can be bought in by folks who are going to take care of them. I recommend anyone who's going to get a chicken to first consider taking a workshop or taking a class on chicken first, and actually asking the right questions about what a chicken will do at a certain age, what will they do as a group, can you keep one chicken, what is the recommendation. So those are important questions.
Do chickens get lonely if you have one chicken?
Just like any animal, they may get lonely. When horses are in at our racetrack, they're recommended to have a goat nearby or having a dog nearby, because just like people like companionship, so do animals.
So the girls know you, huh, Joe?
Yes, they do. I call them in the morning. I have a little saying that I say. I'm a little embarrassed with saying it.
Beetle. Come here, Beetle. Beetle. Beetle.
They're actually waiting on something, and I need to go get it. They love earthworms and stuff like that, and that's one way you can actually train them. And I'm telling you a little bit about my secrets at the workshop, but those are different ways in which they'll get into habits. Even with feeding them, if you do the same typical 1, 2, 3 steps, they'll get used to knowing that. They know sounds, they know different techniques, and they can pick up those things as a routine. And they like to work in groups. That's another thing about chickens. Chickens are similar to what you watch in nature with deers, how deers all run in a pack. And they the weaker ones will follow the stronger ones because they know it's safer to follow that. That's the same way these chickens operate.
Is it dinner time for the girls?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And I'm about to go feed them now.
Can we stay for dinner?
As long as you don't think of any other ideas.
Okay, that's a deal.
Because my girls are watching.
Joe Brock, Executive Director of NOLA Green Roots and Chicken Keeper Extraordinaire. I'm Poppy Tooker, and you're listening to Louisiana Eats.
When I pluck a chicken, it's understood. There's no better plucker. I really pluck them good. I'm a chicken plucker, but it doesn't work out right. Plucking in the day, I'm all plucked out at night.
I'm Poppy Tooker, and you're listening to Louisiana Eats. The happy chickens who live in Joe Brock's NOLA Green Roots coops guarantee that Joe and all of his community garden members have an almost endless supply of beautiful fresh eggs. One of the questions I'm asked most about egg cookery is, how do you boil an egg? If you've ever experienced the unpleasant sulfur smell that can accompany boiling eggs, it's because you've overcooked them. Egg whites contain sulfur, and the yolks contain iron. That smell is hydrogen sulfide. Overcooking a boiled egg causes the iron in the yolk to combine with the sulfur in the white, producing that hydrogen sulfide and the discouraging gray ring around the hard-boiled yolk. Here's how I cook perfect hard-boiled eggs. Place the eggs in a saucepan and cover with water. As soon as they come to a boil, set a timer for 7 minutes. When the timer goes off, immediately drain the eggs and run cold water over them until they're cool. The cold water produces a layer of steam between the egg and the shell, making peeling them very easy. That's it. For more recipes and food tips, visit the Louisiana Eats website at wwno.org. For 25 years, WYES senior producer Peggy Scott Laborde has hosted Steppin' Out, the WYES Arts and Entertainment Weekly Discussion Show. Additionally, Peggy has chronicled our city's history in her documentary television work. At 7 and 10 p.m. on Wednesday, November 17th, her latest, New Orleans Restaurants with a Past, will debut on Channel 12. Peggy's here to talk about her latest work and look back at how she's helped shape the city's collective culinary memory. Peggy, welcome to Louisiana Eats.
Wait, the tables are reversed here. I'm usually interviewing you, so this is a treat.
It's a real treat to introduce you. I'm thrilled. Peggy, you are such a prolific documentarian. What's the number here? How many?
I think it's about 25. So the magic number 25 seems to be appearing this year with the 25th anniversary of Steppin' Out, and then now this. It's a great mix because I really, really, really like New Orleans history. You might have noticed, okay, you watch Channel 12, okay? We all do, yes. Channel 12. But also, we all love to talk about eating, and we dine out a lot. And so what better way to mix those two? A while back, I was really into my sort of jazz mode. I still am. I love traditional jazz, so I like talking about jazz history. But I've been fortunate the way the stars have aligned that we've been able to really focus on food. What happened was about a decade ago, we did a show called Lost Restaurants of New Orleans. And I miss Cobb's. I miss Len Fins and Tipa Terry's.
Me
I know
too.
There are a lot of folks who do. And that show, we did 37 restaurants. And let me just say, to quote Becky Allen, it was hard, because most people, unless it was for a birthday, you didn't take pictures inside of a restaurant. So it was quite a challenge, shall we say, to find stuff, since it's TV, to cover in terms of visualizing these restaurants that we all remember fondly. But anyway, that program is one of those programs I've gotten really the most amount of response to. So I knew it was time to come back and do show something else about food.
Was there one thing in an earlier show that made you decide to focus with such intensity on the subject of New Orleans food?
Well, continued conversation. Here we are 10 years later, and Lost Restaurants continues to air, which is great, on WYES. But, it's like there's some restaurants we didn't get to. So someone would say, well, what about the Hummingbird, or what about Houlihan's? And so we get to do that. But let me say that this new show, most of the show is about restaurants that do exist, that are still around. And we focus on Antoine's, the history of some of the more historic restaurants. So Antoine's and Galatoire's and Toujac's and Brennan's and So for two-thirds of the show would be New Orleans restaurants with a past that are still around. And then sort of as a P.S., we do talk about the Hummingbird and Houlihan's and Tony's Spaghetti House and Annie's also on the Gulf Coast. WYES is actually seen on the Gulf Coast through cable. So we wanted to and a lot of Orleanians dine there, too.
Okay, Peg, now I'm going to let one of your secrets out the bag. You seem to be the ace at collecting all sorts of restaurant ephemera, menus, salt and pepper shakers. How do you do it?
Well, we try to, be as authentic as we can in terms of recreating something that we're talking about. But I would say the power of prayer, and I'm not joking about that, but I'm very serious. But definitely eBay. It's amazing what's out there. Since this is, universal, it's all over the place. Not everybody's into trying to find a spoon from Gluck's, which is a beloved restaurant but long gone. But menus, finding older menus, you just never know what's out there. And you just have to keep on looking on good old eBay.
So do you have a story that touched you the most?
Well, TV is such an intimate medium. That's the big thing. You're close up and you're personal. And so I really am very touched by personal stories. And last year, well, I love when you talk about, you know, dinner with your dad, you know, and great memories of going to Galatoire's. But also, this is gentleman Kenneth Palmer, who talked about, who grew up very, very, very poor and a single mom, single parent, and like, you know, six kids. And he talked about going up in his aunt in Algiers, his aunt. Japanese plum tree and fig tree, and hanging out the whole afternoon eating these fruits. But just, you know, it's the fruit of the land, Poppy, in New Orleans. You've got the bananas. We have banana trees in our backyard. We're about to have grapefruits. You know, it's just the bounty of the land and those childhood memories that are associated with those kinds of things.
Peggy, what do you think New Orleans' most endangered food and endangered food custom might be?
Well, you know, you're my food guru, but in terms of some things, definitely, is it Merloton or Melaton? I get concerned about that, you know, stuff. It's, well, around the holidays, a lot of folks talked about in our shows their wonderful memories of, you know, either meat stuffed or shrimp stuffed Melatons, okay? And I think it's just time intensive. It goes back to that. You've talked about crawfish bisque because you got to stuff those heads. Okay. I know you're trying to keep the drive alive for kalaa and cream cheese. So things like that. But for me, relating most directly, just melatons. I just have enjoyed that. My late mother-in-law, this is what she made every year. And so around this time of the year, I have a high expectation of figuring out where I could get a stuffed melaton.
Well, now that we know about your urban orchard in your backyard, we just have to talk to Dr. Lance Hill, and we'll adopt you a melaton, and you'll be
all
set up.
That's a great idea.
There you go. Well, Peggy, it has been such a pleasure to have you here in the studio at WWNO. Thank you for coming in to talk to us.
Always a pleasure.
I just can't wait to see the new show. I'm so excited. Thank you. Peggy Scott Laborde, WYES producer and New Orleans food documentarian. I'm Poppy Tooker, and you're listening to Louisiana Eats. As Southerners, big, fat sweet potatoes tend to be our orange vegetable of choice. But a recent trip to New England made me understand and appreciate the pumpkin in a new way. Really, pumpkin is a lot more than just jack-o'-lanterns and canned pie filling. There's a particular variety of pumpkin called cheese pumpkin that is more squat and grayish tinged than your typical round, bright orange version usually found in the grocery. The flesh is compact, looks like cheddar cheese, and isn't watery and stringy like the pumpkin meat you scoop out of your jack-o'-lantern. I first tasted this variety in a rustic pumpkin tart prepared by Boston chef Anna Sortoon. Lucky Anna is married to a farmer who raises lots of cheese pumpkins that she cooks into a deep russet jam and freezes for use all year at her restaurant, Oleana. The hardest part is peeling the pumpkin. You'll need your sturdiest vegetable peeler for that job. Cut the pumpkin into quarters to help finish the peeling job with a knife. Scoop out the seeds and stringy membrane that holds them in. Cube the pumpkin and put into a heavy pot. Add 1.5 cups sugar and 2 cups of water for every 4 cups of pumpkin flesh. Bring to a boil, then reduce to a low simmer and cook uncovered until there's nothing left but golden russet pumpkin jam goodness. In the case of this jam, it's better to freeze than can. The jam can remain frozen almost indefinitely. And talk about instant pumpkin pie filling. Wait till you taste it. For a copy of this recipe, visit our website, wwno.org. Great big feet, long, ready legs, and we go together like a ham and eggs. Yeah. Uh-huh, uh-huh. That's it for this week's edition of Louisiana Eats. edible content for Louisiana food lovers. Don't miss next week's show. Both Wendell Pierce and Brian Batt will be here to talk turkey for Turkey Day, of course. Subscribe to our podcast, hear today's show, or catch up on previous editions anytime online at wwno.org. Louisiana Eats is made possible with major support from Zatarain's. Additional support provided by the Wine Institute of New Orleans, Nottoway Plantation and Resort, Dickie Brennan Steakhouse, Palace Cafe, and the Bourbon House, the Leidenheimer Baking Company, Lights Egan Funeral Homes, and our media sponsor, Louisiana Cookin' Magazine. I'm Poppy Tooker. We'll see you next time. Louisiana Eats is a production of WWNO.